Welcome to Strange Phenomena, the music of Kate Bush. I am Cecily, and this week we're continuing on through The Red Shoes, and we're going to be talking about a song that is quite different. It's got a much different sound than we usually expect from Kate Bush, but today we're going to be talking about the following song. We're going to be talking about Constellation of the Heart. And with me to talk about the song this week is someone who has been on the show before. I remember one of the songs you were on was Running Up That Hill, and he's been on a couple of others. And now we're going to get to talk with him this week. We have none other than...
Hi, this is Diego.
So we're going to be talking with you again. Yay!
I'm really excited. This has to be... one of my favorite, I know I say this a lot about a bunch of Kate Bush songs, but ultimately, in the end, I think this is my favorite Kate Bush song.
Yeah, I remember when we, it was quite a while ago when we first started talking and you'd mentioned that this was your favorite song. So I'm really going to be really curious to get into that with you today. So I guess first things first here. So... Constellation of the Heart, obviously was written by Kate Bush, and it's an album song from her, from The Red Shoes, and it's pretty much not appeared anywhere else. You can really only find it on The Red Shoes. It was not released as a single, was not a B-side or anything like that. It is an album song, so we're in album song territory here. And so, Diego, what is it about this song that makes it your favorite Kate Bush song? I'm very curious, because, you know, that's basic history of the song. It's basically an album song. And now, let's get into kind of our thoughts on it, our history with the song. So, why is it one of your favorites? What's your history with it? And all that fun stuff.
Well, so, the thing about The Red Shoes is, I think, honestly, it's one of my top Kate Bush albums, and... I feel like not a lot of people agree with me because I've been trying to think on why The Red Shoes is so much of an outlier compared to other albums from her work of the 80s. And I mean, this is her only album from the 90s, but that kind of range, how on the heels of The Sensual World, this album wasn't as, well received mm-hmm. by fans and critics. I try to really kind of think about it, why that's the case, and I started to think that it can easily be said that this is the album that sounds most like the music of its time. Like, it's the most relatable to what else was going in. Like, usually we often, you know, think of Kate Bush as this trendsetter. Her music sounds like it's being made now, and she is very much this trendsetter, but I don't feel like people think of this album as, you know, revolutionary, as Hounds of Love or The Dreaming War. But I kind of think that's unfair, because this is one of her most interesting albums, because it's one of her most truthful works, I think. It's because for music, she doesn't really put a lot about her life into it. I guess some songs from other albums, you can kind of glean some facts about her, but this is the best reflection of her at a crucial time in her life where things were kind of falling apart.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So why I love this song, even within this album and the songs that I picked to talk about with this album are just the two outliers, I feel like. Because some songs from the Issues can be really read as conventional. This song isn't, and it's the closest you get on this album to, I mean, it's also the closest you get to a conventional pop song in a way on this album, but it kind of still goes against everything. And it's strange. There's not a lot to be, like, researched about it. Like, there's not a lot of references to other things. I mean, there is a reference to The Big Sky and, like, yep, the first set of lyrics. But, you know, it kind of feels, like, isolated within her discography. But besides that, I love it. Because, I don't know, it's really optimistic. And in a way that it's not, like, misguided optimism. But it's, like, from the perspective of someone who's just gone through the ringer, and that they're just, you know, trying to get back on their feet and just kind of like reevaluate things. I don't know. I just like that energy. I like the mantras at the end. And this song, I mean, it's great because it has something that no other Kate Bush song has, and it's that call and response part.
Mm-hmm.
So I first picked up The Red Shoes when I believe I must have been 16, and I picked it up CD form from a record store, and I knew some songs. I knew the Reputation, but I was kind of going into it like not knowing, and the song cemented my love for the album because it's so strange, and it's so strange amongst everything else in this album. And it's just, I don't know, I really like that.
Well, you're right, because it is it's not just an outlier on this album, but also within her discography in general, because, you know, as much vocal interplay as Kate Bush does in her music, you know, thinking back to Lionheart, I'm thinking about a song like Full House, like the way that her backing vocals interplay with each other, and even like Burning Bridge, when we talked about Burning Bridge,
right,
that she does so much vocal interplay. But you're right that it is, this Constellation of the Heart is just an outlier in general, I think, because she doesn't do a lot of the call and response thing, which is honestly probably my favorite part of the song, because it is like, okay, now we're kind of gone off in an interest. Yeah, it's funny, and I can almost imagine a video for this song where she's playing the role of the captain or something, putting on her captain hat and all that. Yeah.
I was thinking about it this morning, and I was like, this song totally feels like it's set on like this interstellar pirate ship, and like this kind of funky like spaceship, and it's kind of like one of the most whimsical songs from this album. And it's thinking about the course of the album and the courses of the narrative, and this is kind of like towards the end, and it's kind of a relief from everything else. That call and response part is amazing, because it kind of, people don't realize it, but Kate Bush is funny. She's, you know, always had a thing for comedy, but she never really put it in her music until a lot, and this is a reminder of that, I feel like. Because I know also at that time she was doing stuff with, like, British sketch comedy. I forget the name, but, you know, like, songs with, like, Ken. Mm-hmm. And comedy and horror, two things that are constants throughout her career.
Yeah, and something else about this. So I remember being very taken aback. Like, well, kind of once I got into more of Kate Bush's music, that I was very much taken aback by this song, because it really is not much like anything else she's ever done. It, you know what, if I've read somewhere online, somebody compared this to Prince, and I could hear that. Like, because it's kind of got this, like, kind of funky sort of sound to it.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to bring up. I love both Kate Bush and Prince. Yeah, I was thinking about how much it sounds like Prince in the song.
Yeah, especially that beginning. The beginning with the guitar. It sounds like something it sounds like something out of a Prince album.
Yeah, especially like Sign of the Times, that era Prince, like late 80s, early 90s. I can't compare it to like anything I've heard. It's even in terms of that, it's just a pure, outlier.
And also, just she doesn't really. It's also Kate Bush doesn't have, just like, kind of. I'm trying to think of the right word. It's very poppy. This is probably one of her. I would say this is one of her more poppy songs. But you are right. There are still some. There is still some strangeness in there, I think. I think mostly for me, it's the way the song is structured. So we got the intro, and then we got the first verse, which is, I think, really more the chorus. And then she goes into her verse. Then she goes back to the chorus, and then she kind of repeats the line, the title of the song a couple times. Constellation of the And then does the chorus, and then she goes into the call and response part.
Right.
It is repetitive because it is kind of the same couple of chords all throughout the song, which I've noticed with a lot of the songs on the Red Shoes. Maybe that was because she was hoping to do this live, and so she kind of kept things a little bit
Right.
simpler. But there, the way that the song is structured is, I mean, even though the production field does feel very poppy, that it is still kind of, it's still not a super regular a song structure. And there are some really pretty, I will admit, there are some really pretty lyrics in here. Like, I really like the part, it's towards the end. I like the "Ooh, find me the man with the ladder and he might lift me up to the stars." And
There's just a really rhythmic flow to the lyrics, this whimsical sense of flow.
I like the verse that if you see the woman with the key, I hear she's opening up the doors to heaven, and here comes the man with the stick, he said he'd fish me out of the moon.
Thank you.
Like, that's just so, that's that right there is really poetic. And that's what I like about, what I like about Kate's lyrics in general is just the poetic nature of them. Even though it's against these, against kind of more simpler lyrics, I would say.
Right. I think, you know, this can be cast as something as a simple song, but it's really far from that.
And I really like I also like the title there. And like, it sounds like that you're kind of going on an emotional journey, like the constellation, you know, constellation is a group of stars, and that you're saying in a way that you're trying to explore more emotions. And I like that. I love the way that sounds, constellation of the heart. Like, that's just very poetic to me. And I think that's really, really pretty.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it's just full of poetic just words, and just everything in the song is so beautiful. And I think that's another reason I love it. It's just, and it's comforting. It's a very comforting song. It's just a song about, I don't know, self-growth, self-care. In the past 2 years, the song's just felt like, just, it's a good song to have in your, on your playlist.
So do you put this on a lot of playlists for yourself? So what kind of playlist do you end up putting this one on?
Like, songs that I feel like other people should listen to if I'm making something for someone else. Because it's one of those songs that makes me, like, rethink what a song can really be. I don't know, that's how I gauge a lot of songs. Like, but, you know, it's things that don't seem conventional. I don't know, I feel like there's a lot to say about the song, and at the same time, not a lot. Because, I mean, I hate to think of it as a throwaway song, but it's not, but it can be seen as one, because it's like, there's nothing about it. It wasn't a B-side, it was just like, it's an album song.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm going to be honest, like, to me, I don't have as much of a connection to the song as you do, but if it comes up, like, if I'm in the mood for something more poppy from Kate Bush and I want to put on the Red Shoes, you know, I'll let this one play through. It is just so different, and I don't have as much of a personal connection, but... You know, it is poppy, you know, and, you know, she really doesn't have a whole lot. It's just super, super poppy songs.
I do think, however, you can really see it connected. I mean, she references it, but this is kind of the closest, you know, she gets again to a song like The Big Sky, which that's another poppy song, an album song, a kind of filler. Not filler, but, you know, it's... In terms of other songs from Heaven's Love, it's not seen on the likes of them. And that's another song I love.
Oh, I know. I love it. Just the craziness of it. It's just, oh, my God. And that one, kind of like this one, is a little bit, is more kind of windy and not as, not super regular with the structure of the song either.
Yeah, and her voice is really fun in it.
And, you know, it's nice to hear her doing other references to some of her other songs, like we take all the telescopes and we turn them inside out and we point them away from the big sky. And then there's later on, and I had to really listen for it. The line before, "Ooh, find me the man with the ladder and he might lift me up to the stars," that she says, "Just being alive, it can really hurt." So it goes back to Moments of Pleasure.
I totally forgot about that. That's such a great, like, little, like, reference. It's just, like, something that you can really miss, but it makes the song, almost.
Yeah, she really doesn't do self-referential things like that. I mean, was this... She does it in this song, and then in You Want Alchemy, when she says, "On a lovely afternoon on a cloud-busting kind of day."
I think You Want Alchemy was just put on Spotify.
I hope so, because I fucking love that song. Hi, spoiler alert, guys, for later on in the season. Hi, one of my favorites from the season.
there was a selection of B-sides from the other sides, that, like, compilation that was never put on streaming services, and I think that's one of them that was added earlier this week. Because we are recording this in the midst of a Kate Bush summer.
I know. Oh my God. And I gotta
It's been
say,
so
guys,
great.
and I'm gonna leave this in here. I was just listening to Alt Nation on Sirius XM, and what do I hear this afternoon? I heard Running Up That Hill on there, and I was like, yes, oh my God.
So great. One of the top songs in the world. And I'm not like, now I can say that and like factually, statistically be right.
Seriously. But yeah, you're like, in a way, this almost reminds me, in a way, the constellation of the heart. You know, you said something that I thought was really interesting, and that there's a lot you could say about this song, but then there's not a whole lot either. I mean, Kate Bush, she said like one little quote about this song, which I thought was interesting. She said, this is from some sort of special Red Shoes era magazine. I'm not sure where this was published, but I found it on found this on the Internet Wayback Machine. It was living in the past.demon.co.uk colon 80, and it's got some Kate Bush stuff on there. And this is a quote from her that she said about this song. Constellation of the Heart was the idea of a voyage into inner space, into the emotions, having feelings as the navigator. It was fun to do, giving it a kind of funk feel and playing with the idea of the conversational backing vocals at the end. There was an idea to repeat the theme of just being alive can really hurt, but to reiterate the importance of it being wonderful and beautiful.
That brings us to one of my favorite parts, that, closing mantra of the, it's going to be beautiful, it's going to be wonderful, it's going to be paradise, which I've always loved that. Like, I don't know why, but that's always been a really just interesting set of lyrics.
How so? I'm curious, because I have some thoughts.
I don't know. It can seem throwaway, but it's just like how it ends on that. It's just repeating, and it just adds to like the kind of the funky nature of the song.
Well, it kind of sums up the song too. Like, it's just this idea of like going through your emotions and being afraid to maybe I also sense in here kind of of being afraid to. Being afraid to throw yourself into something, especially like when she's going back and forth, you can't, they're telling her you can't run away from it. Maybe you'd better face. And she's saying, I can't do that. I can't do that. It's gonna hurt. Is it gonna hurt me bad? And
and I just, again, the vocal delivery in the song is just fun. Just kind of, it's a very quirky song.
And you're right that it also that there is a lot you can say and also not as much because in a way kind of thinking about it, this almost reminds me a little bit of Burning Bridge in a way, like it's
Yeah.
like the interplays of the different vocals and how like that song it's really I mean she even said herself that it really oh okay well I just wrote it's not really that deep but okay not really that deep. And I kind of feel like maybe she was kind of in that place too when she wrote this. It's like, just a fun song about love and feelings. And it does feel a lot more, feels more, a little less otherworldly in a way, but more in the sense of the lyrics in some places seem a little bit simpler. And that's something I've noticed
Right.
with the Red Shoes. Like, she was a lot more direct in a lot of ways.
I also feel like that's the reason why it's not really received as well as other albums of hers, on the heels of The Sensual World, because everything's direct, everything feels a little bit more, in this realm. a little bit more flimsy and vulnerable.
And, you know, we've talked about before, like on the show, that she's, Kate Bush is not a bleed your heart all over the place kind of artist. She's usually telling stories. You don't really know much about who she is as a person.
You can kind of, you know, you can, if you listen, you know, enough, you can kind of gain a picture with all the references and things she brings up, literary, film, other musical references that create a bigger picture. But I think in this album, everything's a little bit more see-through.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I and think that's some of that, thought. You know, it's kind of like, kind of comes down to where she was in her life, I think. You know, she just had so much going on. You know, she had lost her mother either before or after this album was made. And she was going through things with Del Palmer, her longtime boyfriend, and she lost some of her musicians. So she was having a really hard time. Really.
Really, yeah. And I think there's a sense that things can be, that this album's kind of rushed. I don't know if that's true, but you can kind of feel that in the songwriting and some of the instrumentations.
It's interesting where this is placed too on the album, because this is, you know, you said, you're right, it's toward the end, it's track number 9. It's coming after Top of the City, which is, oh my God, one of my absolute favorites from the album. Just, oh my God, so much emotion. So you're coming after that. And then also, and then what the song comes after this one is Big Stripey Lie. And it's like, whoa, this is quite jarring.
Yeah, totally.
I definitely sense that there was a lot going on. And I think that part of probably why she wrote a song like this, wrote something like Constellation of the Heart, was probably to try and cheer herself up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think so as well. In such a heavy, intense album with you know, intense ways of, you know, making sense of things, I think that you need a song like this. It's not like intense dark, but, you know, it's like there are certain songs that just take a lot of energy out of you listening, like the Song of Solomon, like Moments of Pleasure, like Top of the City.
And she really doesn't have poppy stuff like this. Yeah, this is probably one of her poppiest songs, so.
But that's why it's so great.
Also, I found like there are quite a number of musicians on this out on the song too. Like she's got her usual drummer. She's got Stuart Elliott on drums. She's got John Giblin on bass. Future Mr. Kate Bush is on guitar. Danny McIntosh. Gary Brooker is on the Hammond organ. Like he's appeared on And So Is Love. And I think one other song from this album. She's got somebody playing tenor saxophone in the background. I'm going to have to listen again. I'm like, wait a minute. Nigel Hitchcock. She's got somebody playing the trombone. Neil Sidwell. The trumpet is Paul Spong and Steve Sidwell. And Kate is playing keyboards and singing. Or playing keyboards and piano and, of course, singing. The vocals, she's got her brother Patty and also Colin Lloyd Tucker in there. So lots of different little things going on in here. And it definitely like kind of has a band feel to it, which, you know, is something she was trying to go for on this album.
Yeah. And also, yeah, that really comes through. So the band feel, there's just great energy. I think there's a really dynamic, you know, in terms of the backing music throughout this album, but especially on this song where it feels more like a band.
Which, you know, she hadn't done for quite a while. I mean, most of her previous two albums were all recorded. I mean, she did have other musicians, but she was kind of not copying and pasting, really. But the music was less about people being together in a room and more about her as like, okay, bringing them in and you're going to play just this one little part here and then that's it. Like, there's not... Which can make things a little bit harder to do live. And since she was thinking about going live, playing live, and of course, we all know Kate Bush never ended up doing that, at least until Before the Dawn. But, you know, it's interesting hearing her try something new.
Yeah, and I she's done it before, though, songs like Love and Anger, that has that, like, multi-person community kind of feel in terms of the backing music. And it's just, you know, a good energy. I don't know, it's just different than other, you know, songs wherein we can kind of tell it's her and a synthesizer. There are other musicians, but it doesn't feel like it's a group. It doesn't feel like it's like different visions. It feels like one way of making a song. And it's a great song, but, you know, it doesn't have that. Like, I do feel like that's the reason why The Red Shoes is, it reads differently.
I mean, for me, I enjoy The Red Shoes. For me, also, there's no such thing as a bad Kate Bush album. There really isn't. There are albums that speak, I mean, each of her albums speak to different people at different times in their life. And I don't tend to go to The Red Shoes and listen as a whole as an album. There are definitely like Top of the City. I like that makes it into Top of the City, the title track, The Red Shoes, like those make it into all of my like favorite Kate Bush songs, like put them all together in the playlist. Yes, it sounds like musical whiplash, but hey, it's cool to play. I mean, those make it in. I mean, because this album does contain some of her most beautiful songs. Moments of Pleasure always gets me too. Like, oh my god, that just I can't go through the album. I hear that da 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 da. I'm like, oh my god, okay, I'm gonna start crying. I need to pull over. She was at a very rough time in her life, and yeah, I think she really wrote this as like just a way to just have fun, you know, try and get through things.
I love when Kate Bush does fun songs. There's not like a lot of those, but it's always a good time. And that's why, I mean, you can make serious music that's also just fun. And I think this is a testament to that.
And yet it still does feel like her. Like there are actually the parts that you mentioned for like toward the end with It's Gonna Be Beautiful, It's Gonna Be Wonderful, It's Gonna Be Paradise. I'm a little meh on that myself because it feels a little bit like I kind of prefer when she's a little bit more poetic, but I can see why you like it. I mean, it does sound really pretty. It's a little more direct. And so I tend to like Kate when she's a little bit more poetic, but I can see where those lines resonate with you and other people listening who are going, hey, I really like that song. I mean, yeah, it still is pretty. It still feels like her, even though it's quite different and not something I completely connect with, but I can, you know, after talking with you and also hearing, like seeing what other people say about the song, that I can see why someone would like it. Cause it is poppy. It's, and she doesn't have a lot of just truly poppy songs.
No, I've been, you know, thinking how I think this album I've read is considered a self-sabotage album. Like, yeah, albums by bands who wanted a really ambitious work and it didn't really turn out well, like Fleetwood Mac's Tusk or ABC's Beauty Stab, kind of albums that even The Dreaming has been considered one of those albums I've heard, like, in the eyes of the critic. But I think there's a lot to be learned from this album. And also, I don't think it's a failure of an album. I just think it didn't, you know, initially make as much sense because you're hearing her at her most straightforward, direct, and vulnerable. And that's not something you really hear in her music otherwise, but that's why it's so great. It's refreshing. I really like when musicians offer something different than what they really hone in and develop, something that maybe it's not always thought through, but I really like outliers and people's careers. And that's what makes this album really fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. Like, and we've been talking about it here, that there's really not a lot, whole lot in her other catalog that sounds like this.
Yep.
So, anything else we want to add about the song? I think we pretty much covered it. I mean, we're in album
No,
track.
I think
Yeah, we're in album track
it's
territory
so
here, folks.
straightforward. I think a lot of these songs are going to be straightforward.
You know, it is nice and poppy. It's neat to hear her doing something new. She's always known for doing something new. So there you go.
Right. And I just hope people discovering her music now go even deeper and resonate with songs like this. Songs beyond Running Up That Hill and Wuthering Heights. Great songs, really crucial songs. But I really want to, see people, new fans' reactions to songs like this. Songs like From the Dreaming and Lionheart.
Well, it'll be interesting to see in the months to come. I mean,
Yeah.
this is the first, you know, this is the first season where I'm recording episodes. Now everybody's talking about Kate Bush, not just me on this podcast and talking with all you guys.
So different.
It does. It feels very different. It's really, really cool. Like, I have no other word
Yeah.
for it. Like, hearing her on American radio is like, oh my God, we actually care. Yes.
All over Instagram, all over TikTok.
And you know what? I really hope, and I said this in the Running Up That Hill episode special that I did a little while ago, that, you know, I really hope that you got, I mean, obviously, if you're listening to this, you know, and you're a new Kate Bush fan, hey, welcome in. We're glad you're here. And she's got so many cool songs to offer. And you know what? I hope you'll go beyond Running Up That Hill. But you know what? Even if
Yeah.
they never go beyond that, at least they know who she
Who
they
she
know
is.
who she
And
is.
that's so important.
I mean, yeah, you always hope that people are gonna go beyond just the big hit.
Hopefully, such an amazing artist. But it's just really hopeful. And just hopefully,
If we don't have anything else to add about the song, well, thank you so much for being on the show today, and it was great to talk to you as always, and glad I got to talk to you about your
Thank
favorite Kate
you.
Bush song. So
Thank you for having me.
And that wraps it up for this episode of Strange Phenomena, the Music of Kate Bush. Just wanted to thank you all so much for listening and continuing to support the show. And if you are listening to this, if this was your very first episode ever, you're like, okay, I enjoy this episode and this chick and what this chick is doing. How can I follow her and all that? Well, here's how you can follow. You can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/KateBushPodcast. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/StrangeKateCast. You can also call the hotline and leave a message, and your message can be played on a future episode, 1-757-349-6369. You can also email the show, katebushpodcast@gmail.com. So lots of different ways to be involved. Oh, and we also have a Patreon, patreon.com/katebushpodcast. So, I want to thank everybody so much for listening. And so, next time, we're going to be talking about Big Stripey Lie. That's going to be coming up in a couple of weeks. Thank you so much again for listening, and we'll see everybody next time. Bye!